Good evening, everyone. This is Jules, and you're on to Pear Shaped, episode 4, on psychological abuse and how it's used by the authorities. Just like to welcome everybody and all those listening in, anyone else that's following on podcast. And as I say, it's a show for everyone's information and sharing the kind of information that the authorities and those people in society that exploit people don't want you to know about. So tonight's show is going to be a little bit of an infill on abuses, the types of places it's used, and with some music here and there. And we're going to start the show off with quite a fitting an old tune here. And as I say, a bit of a mishmash on for everybody's taste. So this is Bon Jovi, Wanted Dead or Alive.
I'm a cowboy on a steel horse.
Well, welcome back. That's quite a fitting tune. Wanted Dead and Alive by Bon Jovi. I've played that for the people that are most likely going to be listening in with the same group of people that we've got various actions going out and people being proactive in putting right the wrongs in the world society and in particular in authorities, exposing corruptions. There's people out there that, that aren't aware of this. I'm talking about the way the authorities are hitting those people who are putting themselves forward and putting the news out there to people. People are having their communications hit and having such problems with their computers, their internet, their mobile phones, the things that they're posting out disappearing. We've got people who have got YouTube accounts with their videos which express kind of information of finding their viewing counters are actually going backwards and saying that less people are viewing their videos rather than mounting up as one or two people would add on the numbers. They're seeing the numbers go backwards. So it's a big shout out really to all the brothers and sisters out there that are doing their bit, and they're getting hit for those, and they're being hit, which is oblivious to the people that aren't in the on the front line. Some people probably think this is a bit unbelievable, but also the inevitability that the people that aren't awake and that believe that the world out there isn't quite as bad as it probably seems, and have all the wishful thinking in the world that keeps them going on from day to day and disassociating to what's actually going on in the in behind the veil of authority, if you like. So with further ado, I will crack on, and I'm afraid it's just a boring old me tonight. So apologies for that, and we'll be getting some more interesting guests coming through. But we've, as I say, we've been hit on the radio station. I had last week's show disappeared on me, and this week's show very nearly didn't happen. As I say, the actual radio show and emails and stuff are all being hit. So I'm hoping that the show is going to go right the way through, and that we don't get knocked off. We had an interesting show with good friend Claire Kennedy, who was interviewing Gordon Bowden the other evening, and they hit that approximately 11 times. We had to reinstate the transmission to stop that being hit. And as I say, my show didn't actually take off last week at all. So I'm hoping I'll be staying with you, although I'll probably bore you to death. We've actually got some interesting information for you, which is it's kind of information really you should have before you start getting hit by certain authorities. There's not a lot you can do when you've been lulled into a position of being attacked by the authorities and the psychological abuse that they're going to attack you with. Fending them off and letting them know that you know what they're up to is the best form of defence. And so this information really is out there. You know, it's for those people who are being targeted, hopefully, you know, getting it to be general information out to the public, and information that, as I say, the authorities don't want you to know about. So basically, you know, the system, as it were, the establishment, is all pretty much geared up to kind of hiding these kind of abuses. It's not something that they'll ever turn around and admit to. But the procedures and the systematic way they are actually attacking people that they need to attack, either for financial reasons, for the fact that somebody is a whistleblower, they could be reporting abuse, they could be reporting fraud, they could be reporting corruption that's going on within the authorities, they could actually be turning around and reporting the fact that there's these actions and psychological abuses are being put on them. And this echoes right the way up through all the way through to the courts, the judiciary system, and through the Houses of Parliament. Same kind of behaviours are being reported across the board, and they're keeping everybody preoccupied, making everybody busy, making everybody struggle, making everybody keep to themselves, and they've got everybody subdued and compliant, and pretty much avoiding the catastrophes that go on. And very much everyone has got the veil in front of their eyes. They look through everything with rose-tinted glasses, as a good friend of mine says. And don't look forward to work in the morning, and their problems seem to be pretty much wrapped up with what's right in front of their nose. They're not really aware of what's going on for those people that are being targeted, and each person who is being targeted pretty much ends up on a conveyor belt of systematic behaviours put amongst them by the such authorities as social services, the police, councils, pretty much corporate ventures now, anything to do with billing. They're pretty much queuing up to turn around and exploit people that they know they can. As I say, I've been seeing more and more of empathic people, people that are emotionally sensitive, being targeted for things they haven't done, being targeted for money, being they're more exploitable for fraud. They're less likely to turn around and argue and press authorities because of the fear mongering, because of the belief that they can actually do anything against the authorities. And as I say, these things are becoming more corrupt, becoming more recognised in society. People are feeling the squeeze, people are feeling the oppression, and hopefully that's what we're going to turn around and expose for you tonight. One of the things I wanted to point out is a good friend, I won't mention their name, has turned around and pointed out that they're proving more and more now that such devices as Facebook now are being used to turn around and collect your private information. And they're actually turning around and putting personality tests on people's Facebooks to see what people score. And basically, if you turn around and do a personality test and find out that you're empathic, then you're basically giving away information which turns around and says, I trust authorities, I am an honest person, so I believe most people around me are honest. I'd like to give people the benefit of the doubt, so I can be strung along, easily manipulated, easily exploited, and I'm a perfect target to be done over by a corrupt court system. If I receive a letter from court, I'm probably the most likely person to turn around and believe that this must be legitimate, even if it's a mistake, and I must get rid of it. And I'll actually doubt myself before doubting the courts. So this is pretty much what's going on, people, out and about, pretty much in your social networking between Facebook and Twitter. And these things are very much tools that are out there to feed the corruption, feed those that are already rich, turn around and hit the everyday person without them even knowing. And they're going on right under your nose, under plain sight, and all disguised as everyday life procedures and even entertainment. The evil is being hidden as the good, as they say. And as I say as well, it's the preoccupants of work. It's I must pay my bills. I must pay this. If somebody charges me, it must be true because they're not allowed to turn around and charge me something I'm not being charged for. And you're coerced into turning around and basically paying out for things you shouldn't be paying for. So as we crack on, and as in previous shows, we've kind of highlighted with such people as Katie and with Chris, the exploitations that are going on with such people as the social services. And it's the breaking down process that is probably the most concerning. Because ultimately, it's where this leads the victimized person or the targeted person. And the authorities use the basic psychological abuses that are used in psychologically abusive partnerships. So these things, again, you're probably likely to know somebody that is in a psychologically abusive relationship, probably isn't aware of it, most probably believes that they're actually to blame in somehow, shape or form, even though they can't explain why, just feel they're always on the receiving end and feeling everything is always turned against them, no matter how hard they try. Feel their self-esteem is going down the pan, and the more tied in with these kind of abusive people they are, the more they have to keep quiet, more they're ashamed of what's gone on, more they've been corrupted into doing things that they're worried about going out, and basically ostracized from their friends in what's called emotional manipulation. So one of the sort of emotional turmoil positions that these kind of psychological abusers put people in, they basically do, they pull like stunts that are unbelievable stunts, if you like, something that you wouldn't believe or could consider that would come from an authority. They do the unbelievable and portray it against the person that they're targeting. The person who's targeting then in actually reporting the truth actually sound unbelievable, they sound disbelievable. They become scared to turn around and report this because they're aware it sounds unbelievable. And the manipulation is done against them in that they don't feel they can speak up. They become isolated, that they don't feel they can turn around and put this out. The less they speak about it, the more isolated they become, because the more guilty they look with not actually speaking up about it earlier on. And this is done to basically erode the person as I say, erodes their confidence, erodes their self-esteem, and the person gradually starts to go downhill with their emotions and their psychological state being exhausted, and they're basically put through into a full set of behaviours and end up with symptoms which amount to such things as what is called complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which is abbreviated to CPTSD. It's more of a complex version than the normal post-traumatic stress disorder that you would receive from veterans going to war, from people who have had an operation or an accident and have suffered the trauma that is attached to it. Their CPTSD is an over time developed stressful trauma, and it is just as damaging. The person is left with the same symptoms, the same traits, and these all go against the person, and the authorities turn around and use these behaviours and traits that they've actually incurred on the person to then systematically label the person as is inadequate, as these reasons that these behaviours is the reason they turned around and targeted them in the first place. They use it to discredit the person. They use them to make people doubt their mental health, their ability to communicate. They make them feel more isolated, more banished, and more silenced. And then this is how the authorities turn around and deal with anybody who's even questioning authority. So it's very much the case that the more you start to speak up, the more you stand for what's right, the more you want the truth expressed, you will come under a whole load of proceedings. And the courts are doing this to the point of where they're actually putting gagging orders on people, using the consideration of possibly the children deserve this silence to be not put forward. The justice procedure is said to be compromised if the silence doesn't turn around and be put forward. But what you're basically seeing is the person who is actually aware of corruption within the court is put through the corruption, but is basically turned around and told, if you turn around and speak about this, you'll be put in prison. Or worse still, you'll go to a mental health institute, you'll be considered as having a psychotic disorder, you'll be considered as delusional, you'll be submitted to this hospital for a period of time, you'll be given antipsychotic drugs, and you're the only one person who can basically turn around and state that I didn't have a mental health condition, but all the reports and all the actions that are taken against me suggest that I do. And basically this has come about because of the authorities are turning around and doing this to you. Again, you're back in the realm of the unbelievable is being done against you, and without any actions or precautions to turn around and protect yourself against this, you end up pretty much with a heavy weight burdened around your neck, something that you can't shift. And the very people around you start to actually doubt you, because you start to suffer from anxiety, you start to suffer from the stress, you start acting differently than you normally would, and this then gets amounted to actually looking as if you are the mental health concern that you're being portrayed as. So these are basically the systematic ways that the authorities are turning around and disposing of, as I say, whistleblowers, victims, people that are reporting abuse, or the abuse victims themselves, people that are standing up to authority, people that are exposing authority. All of these people are in this position of being discredited, banished, isolated, written off mentally. So basically, I'm going to go through a bit of a rundown of the types of abuses that go on. There's various different types of manipulation and abuse. Some of it is erroneous and done over a period of time and with a systematic breakdown, making people doubt their mind. Some of it is done in putting people into conflicts. There is such behaviours as what is known as self-sabotages, and or what are considered in society now as false flags, where unbelievable actions are being portrayed against the person who's actually the perpetrator, and they will suggest that the innocent party is the person doing these and setting people up. There's various different things. There's setting people up to fail, manipulating situations and times, and using not talking to people, catching people unaware, and manipulating them to be annoyed, frustrated, or antagonized in a public scenario, so that the person is seen as being aggressive, or they are portrayed as being out of order, unbalanced, and basically this is done by antagonizing the person over a long period of time, waiting for the crucial moment when we've got public eyes on the person. They're manipulated into this situation. The person who's being manipulated is triggered and set into a emotion of showing their upset. Meanwhile, it seems to just have appeared to everybody else to have come from nowhere, having the person who's manipulated it expressing to other people previously that this type of person is unstable, or they are a concern, or they've got aggression problems, and this is how these people go about setting people up to fail. So dropping back now to the authorities, and in particular I'll start with the social workers, and I suppose the best one is the emphasis on the parenting and the segregation of the children of people who are loving parents, and the breaking down of these parents, making them doubt themselves, turn around and suggesting things that happened to their children that haven't happened, fabricating reports against people, and this person turned around and actually watching a gradual exaggeration and excessiveness of falsified incidences that have turned around and made them to be a concern. And the authorities will turn around and keep pressing on this. They will have the person pretty much running scared, not knowing what to do, not knowing why they're being attacked. And the authorities use what is basically is known as projection. Now, projection is basically it's the actual actions that are being held against you. You are actually accused of. Now, this person has the person who's receiving this kind of behaviour pretty much dumbstruck and dumbfounded with audacity when it comes to this being pointed out. It's very difficult to turn around when you're being accused of something that you're having done to yourself by the person, and you're trying to explain to somebody else, no, that I'm not responsible for this. This is what they're actually doing to me. Makes you sound almost unbelievable and almost childish. And the person who's actually turning around and reporting this ends up in the position of actually expressing their anger at how dare they turn around and say this. And again, they're then manipulated into being triggered into being seen as unreasonable. So projection is basically it's actually a pathological behaviour of a psychopathic, sociopathic or narcissistic person. And what they will do is they will basically, from their own inability to turn around and accept responsibility, their inability to turn around and accept guilt, they will actually accuse the people around them or the very person that they are victimizing for the things that they do. And this obviously causes a misinformation fog, if you like, or confusion for the person who's receiving it. And this is where the people who have turned around and excelled at this kind of behaviour for all of their lifetime are aware that emotional people are very easy to provoke. Once they're triggered, they're unable to explain. They go into anxiety. They aren't able to access their memory. They're not able to recall the incidences that they needed to express right at the crucial time of trying to explain to somebody else that they're not guilty of something. And the person is put into a defensive explaining turmoil, I'll call it, in which they actually become anxious and actually start to be perceived as being guilty because they're becoming so upset at these false accusations. Now, this type of projection actually leads on to further behaviours which cause a manipulativeness that sort of transcends this. And what develops this from is basically what is called gaslighting. Gaslighting is something that's very, very much now covered up throughout society. It actually comes around from the naming of a film. Well, it goes back to a play, but it's I think the actress was called Ingrid Bergman. It's a black and white film, quite a famous film to those people that understand what gaslighting is, or have received psychological abuse and know that they've received it. And basically, it's the story of a man who erodes his wife in a purposely made-up relationship, in that he's after her wealth and her position, and basically convinces her that she's losing her mind. And he does it by physical gaslighting and verbal gaslighting, in moving certain items, suggesting that she's done things that she hasn't done, suggesting that incidences have turned around and happened are her fault, and then basically making up that She's actually responsible for all these things, to the point where she starts to doubt herself so much she starts to rely on his behavior, on his information, and his own behaviors aren't put into question, because she actually starts to feel anxious and starts to feel ill with this. So she actually starts to feel that it is actually her fault. So this film is actually quite an eye-opener to anybody that has been gaslighted, because most people that have been gaslighted aren't really aware they've been gaslighted unless they've actually suffered extensively and they've been receiving this kind of behavior over a very long period of time. And their mind is compromised. They are sent into, this nervous, defensive, negative circulatory spiraling thought pattern, which causes them to go into depression, causes them to suffer from extensive anxiety. And they basically start to depend upon the opinion of the person who's abusing them. Now, this is part and parcel of what's actually done regarding brainwashing, because the person's own opinion starts to become very doubtful, and so they start to rely very much on the opinion of the abuser. And obviously this is within cults, it's the cult leader, and their belief system is taken on board, because this person who is actually abusing the person will understand that their confusion and their disorientation is only really noticeable to the abused. Nobody else is actually able to turn around and talk to the abused person and convince them that they could be suffering from mental health issues. And the abused person seems to be the most intuitive person. And so they then convince the victim that they understand this, and they then start to give them new information, which kind of seems to help. The oppression seems to lift, and so their opinion is started to be trusted over their own. So this is very much how brainwashing within cult systems and stuff is operated on. And this gaslighting is part and parcel of it. It's done very subtly to start off with. It's not something which is done openly. It can be done with small gestures of moving things, small suggestions, constant criticisms towards someone's memory, doubting of their senses, and statements which basically incur the person to think and question. These questions are basically left what's known as open-ended, and the element of the abuse is gradually built up until the person is not really aware that that their own mindset is being tampered with. So this is very much the system that is basically incurred by the social services. They're able to do it on a much more aggressive level, in that they are able to do it because they're not able to be questioned. There isn't anybody you can turn around and call on to police the social services. It's very much the decisions of these social workers that turn around and imply these psychologically abusive patterns of behavior, that they're able to do this unchecked. And by leaving a question with this element of doubt and concern and disorientation for the person goes unchecked. And over a long, long period of time, this doubt starts to really basically work in. With that, I'll go on to the kind of the different levels of physical gaslighting that can be incurred. Now, these can be basic things, as things can be preemptively turned around and moved, or things can be taken away, things can be stolen and returned, they can be things can be put into place, things like lights can be left on with a suggestion that these have been done. So these kind of emphases are made, as I say, they're gradually turned around and incurred further. And normally the person is left with these behaviors being portrayed out to different people. So they can be done quite strategically. So if you've got a next door neighbor who's possibly got a flower pot, and you were to go out and move your neighbor's flower pot and turn around and move it to the other side of the garden, so it would look almost as if their other neighbor has turned around and moved this. This type of gaslighting can be done to incur doubts, not about just somebody of their own volition, but basically to set other people against the person who you're actually trying to gaslight. This is what's known as abuse by proxy. So things and, you know, such things as a mechanic who is, you know, would be considered as having oily hands, then there could be oily marks left on something to basically incur somebody to have something of theirs moved with an oily handprint on it, so that it would be the obvious suggestion that this isn't the person, because they would be a mechanic. So all these kind of things of playing with people's minds with these mind games can all be done. And a lot of the time the actual abuser is doing such manipulative behaviors that the abuser is normally one of the last people to turn around and be suspected. And it can be done extensively. So things like things being sabotaged, things being broken, smashed, and as I say, personable items that go missing, and the same, people can be set up against each other. So that's basically your physical gaslighting. And as I say, it's done over a long period of time. The verbal gaslighting is when incidences that are turned around and suggested that have happened, when somebody turns around and does something in front of somebody, they can turn around and suggest that they didn't do it. They can turn around and insist this and won't let the matter drop. They never turn around and admit to it, which makes the person turn around and originally think that this person is dysfunctional. Now, what they'll actually do is they will do this to the extent of where the person will think that the person is appearing as being dysfunctional to everybody else because of their inability to be to do something adequately. And what will actually happen is the person who's being manipulative will be extremely efficient for everybody else, will be act dysfunctional in front of the person that they're actually gaslighting. And the suggestion then comes from the person who's being gaslighted that to everybody else, well, don't you notice how this person always messes everything up? Don't you notice how they turn around and put all these elements in, which are that basically make the person look and seem dysfunctional? Now, those elements are all very much a basis which within the person, when they turn around and try to relay this to the people who have seen nothing but people being adequate, it then looks as if the person who is being gaslighted is the person who is actually discrediting the other person. Now, with all this, there's this element of this breaking down of the person, their personalities, their characteristics, and all these start to wane. Now, what's actually going on with the verbal gaslighting is the suggestions then start to actually be things which are encroached upon, things that are unbelievable. So the person will turn around and actually go and walk over to the person who's doing the gaslighting, would go over and walk out of the door, would come back, put something down on the table, and then walk off. And the person would then sit there and say, well, that's really strange. Why did you do this? And the person would then turn around and say, what on earth made you think that I did that? I've just seen you do that. Now, after this level of doubt and opinion being lost and the person actually becoming concerned for their own senses and for their own memory, things like this are then turned around and actually making the person believe so badly that they turn around and wish to see that they actually start to believe their own mental health has gone downhill. So this is on a very much on a partnership level, where the person is spending pretty much a lot of their time doing this. With the authorities turning around and doing it, it's done pretty much on the basis that the authorities won't turn around and let something happen, or just won't let something go regards to falsified reports. So that what they'll do is they will turn around and insist this has happened, rather than actually back down from saying this has actually happened, is they will incur further falsified reports and exaggerations, and they will actually build on this. So the person is sitting there in disbelief thinking, how can this social worker turn around and think this? And it's left over long periods of time again. So the person actually starts to believe a concern, or where are they getting this kind of information? Who is saying this against me? They start to break down their own relationships. They start to break down the people who are around them, wondering where this person who's got no reason to actually turn around and attack them is attacking them. And part and parcel of it is because of the authorities is in a position to wish to take people's children because there's a financial benefit to it. Anybody that's listening for the first time and isn't aware of such things as the forced adoption the children trafficking that's going on throughout the UK, the children that are being left in abusive households who aren't being targeted for forced adoption because they are not in a good position to turn around and be adopted out. So they are basically left where they are. And the other option, which is the more sinister option, that the children are basically being taken, who have been abused and are being taken for further abuse, and they're disappearing off into such forms of paedophilia rings, used for ritual abuse, even satanic ritual abuse, stuff which is going on, is prevalent within the country, but is very much swept under the carpet. So all these psychological manipulations and all these things that are deemed as the unbelievable are very much the believable, and this works in very well for one of the probably the most well-known type of manipulation, which is basically the abusers doing the unbelievable and getting away with it by giving a creditable lie, which actually looks bad on the person who is actually the victim, which is what is called victim blaming. And this is basically how they set people up. They leave people with this concern that they're going to have these false accusations, these labels are going to turn around and stay with them. They're left with it over a long period of time. People are aware that having the social services not leave them alone. And once they turn around and have a social worker come in and suggest that the parent is a threat or is abusive, the person doesn't wish to go out and turn around and tell their neighbours that they can't believe the social workers have come round and turn around and said that they are a threat and a concern for their child. And they label it, this pretty much in the future emotional harm category, which again sounds unbelievable to anybody that's turned around and experienced it. But it means the person won't go and speak to their neighbours because basically they're on the they're seeing themselves as being reporting something which is unbelievable, which makes them sound unbelievable. And again, the finger of blame is left pointed at the victim. So again, this is the next area of gaslighting that the authorities turn around and use. And again, the threats, the concern, the intimidation, the scaremongering starts to have erroneous effects on the person it's been put on. So probably a whole lot of information there that is probably quite hard to turn around and absorb. I want to assure you that these are the things that are going on in society. But what I'm going to do for the moment, basically play another tune, give your minds a bit of a break, give mine one as well. And we're going to turn around and now play the tune, which is Rudimental, one of my favourite tunes, and Feel the Love.
I can feel it all around. I can feel it all around.
That's one of my personal favourites there. That's Rudimental. So we're back. I don't want to make this too morbid or have people feeling depressed at the thought of all these kind of other stresses and stuff that go on. But one of the things that people make an emphasis on trying to sort of understand is how do you recognise somebody who's psychologically abusive? It's very complex. Does take a little while to turn around and start to recognize the kind of the different behaviors. A lot of people get a gut feeling regarding being with somebody who is or emotionally devoid, I suppose, is the easiest way to put it. But basically, one of the key signs that I ask people to sort of look out for is the fact that somebody has got no empathy. It's not a case of them showing they've got zero empathy. Psychological abusers are very aware how people with empathy act, and so they will act accordingly. They will act charming, and they will act act in a way what is called cold empathy. It's not a real empathy. What they'll actually do is they'll give this false impression that they care, and normally they will put on somebody who is empathic, and they'll use their caring nature to actually exploit them. But one of the other key red flags, as we call them, is the inability to turn around and apologise. It's the inability to take responsibility, and also it's the inability to recognise when they've done something which does hurt your feelings. And these are the key red flags to turn around and start believing that for someone to think, well, you know, am I being psychologically abused here? And these are, you know, the things to really start off with to look at if you've got that concern. The other thing is to research, really. It's research is the bit that opens up the mind to actually waking up. Cognitive dissonance is something that which actually gets somebody who's been psychologically abused gets placed into. It's the same reason why people who are in cults or been brainwashed or who are in a family where they're being psychologically abused by a parent, their mind is pretty much closed and in what has been enveloped in the fog, as they call it, and they're unable to turn around and see that they're being treated in such a way. And this is called the cognitive dissonance. The other side of it is when somebody isn't actually able to accept that somebody that they love or someone they care for or believe in, that this person wouldn't be able to do such a thing, they go into what's called disassociation, where they actually disassociate the thoughts and the negativity and make justified reasons for wishful thinking or portraying a good thought for the person who's actually being horrible to them, and giving them excuses that they're probably having a bad day. There may be something that they've actually that they have done and that weren't aware of. Maybe it's something that happened a couple of days ago. And so the actual victims tend to justify and excuse the perpetrator. And the perpetrator does what's called passive-aggressive behaviours, where they will be abusive most of the time. And when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the person being pushed to their limit, and they've got to the point of where they're actually deciding to walk out and say this isn't good, you know, it's beyond a reasonable doubt now, the abuser will turn around, bring back on the charm, turn around and start being nice, make suggestions that there is a problem and the problem needs resolving. They're going to do everything they can, and they turn all the niceties on again. But basically, just to line the victim back up for another set of procedures of bearing down on them, undermining them, criticizing them, blaming, and then developing again back into abusive behaviors. And the system goes on. So that's very much what goes on in an abusive relationship. And going back to what goes on in authorities, it's really important, I believe, to give people the severity of this. And that is, you know, psychological abuse is something that people don't actually realize, is that a lot of the outcomes that come from psychological abuse are terminal. The people who are abused actually end up in such a state within their own concerns to do with their mental health, the thought that they are actually going mad, the fact that they can't bear this anymore, the fact that nobody can actually recognize that they're being treated in this way, they're pushed to this limit, the fact that they don't like the fact of them, of their own behaviors, they're being manipulated into and triggered into anxiety, so that they are seen as having a temper, they're seen as being selfish because they're being withdrawn from all of the respectful kind of behaviors around them. They're not being given respectful communication, they are ignored, they are basically starved of any social interaction, they're starved of any affection. And so when they start to become and feel a bit needy, people around actually see these people as being short-tempered, being pushed to their limit, to being having mood swings, but these are basically all being manipulated upon them. So the person is actually into starting to believe that their own mental health is at such a concern, they are literally physically, psychologically, and emotionally exhausted, which is an unbearable feeling within itself. They start to not like themselves, they start to doubt themselves, and it gets to the point where they're actually pushed to take the ultimate decision to take their own life. And as much as it's a horrible thing to turn around and say, this is a very realistic inevitability for people, and there is a considerable amount of percentage of people who are being psychologically abused that do take their life, rather than the actual abuser being recognized for what they do. And unfortunately, these abusers go on to portray these kind of behaviors against other people. And there is that 15% of society, which is this abusive type of personality or personality disordered, who do this kind of abuse. So it's something that's very real. It's something very much that's out there for everybody. Everybody knows somebody that's been psychologically abused. Everybody knows somebody who is a psychological abuser. And it's a very true fact that because of the element of how society has been trained and to not see this, and how it's basically ignored throughout all the authorities, you won't find an authority that will turn around and say, okay, you've had your house taken off you by psychological abuse, you've had your mental health compromised because of psychological abuse. They'll only turn around and treat somebody for depression if they're being psychologically abused. And somebody that's reporting psychological abuse to the authorities will find that what they report isn't written down. It's not allowed to be justified because the doctors haven't turned around and witnessed this abuse being done to them. So they're not allowed to document it, which works in very nicely for the authorities at protecting the authorities and protecting all the psychological abusers. So this is very much something that I've been protesting and being trying to promote in education and promote in protests, actually inform people to get this information out there. So with that, I'll press on a little bit further now to the element of these type of abuses, and in what is called triangulations. Now, triangulations are very much a systematic way of undermining somebody's relationship or causing conflicts between somebody, to incur jealousy, to basically set people against each other, to make somebody be discredited using other people. And these triangulations are done very intuitively with different personality types, using the same personality types and using psychological manipulation. And the manipulative behavior of people's traits are actually used against them. Now, a psychopath or sociopath or narcissist will basically target two empathic people. They will know that the traits and behaviors of the two empathic people mean that they don't like to be ignored, but they will respond off of another person's negative actions towards them and avoid conflict. So they'll both go in two different directions if they feel there is a conflict. And basically these psychological abusers will feed untruths, misdirection, discrediting remarks about the third party to the person that they're talking to. They will put suggestions into place that this person is a nasty piece of work, they're unstable, they're aggressive, they are detrimental to somebody else. There will be speculation that this person either hates this other person, or that they are jealous of this other person, or this person is turning around and committing crimes, has got a relevant past of these kind of behaviors that they're going to manipulate the person to look like. And this information will be fed to the two other parties. So the triangle is an attack basis. The abuser is basically getting the confidence of both parties and then sets this conflict of interest between the other two people. And what actually happens is that they will conspire such information that the other person will start to look at the other third party in a negative light, and they will start to see this behavior within them starting to look very suspicious, very doubtful. Both parties doing the same thing will start to view the other person as acting differently, and they're starting to notice something very suspect. And these behaviors build up. They start to basically relay their information back to the abuser that they're starting to notice some suspicious behaviors. The abuser will turn around and start to minimize the amount of information, so they try to make themselves look good. And basically, they will configure this this action against and between these two people. They will then use such things as catalysts. There will be something which is broken, something which is sabotaged. Another third person will turn around and get some information to state that this has been happened. The abuser will turn around and lie and suggest that they've been attacked by this person, so that the reputation of the person that they're really targeting is compromised even further. And this interaction between both people, basically working on the fact that both of them seeing their innocence, both of them defending their innocence, and seeing the other person acting in strange behavior, causes the conflict to rise until the point that basically the concern is such that actions start to be taken by each person against them, and the conflict of interest has now gone out of the window, and the actual actions of each other is basically taken on. So this is an escalating set of procedures, which basically ends up in conflicts, or as I say, jealousy, people reporting each other. And again, this is what's referred to as abuse by proxy. So somebody can basically be ostracized completely from society. These triangulations can happen in various ways over a long period of time. People can find their lives are destroyed, their friends' relationships are destroyed, their careers are destroyed. Such triangulations are put through their work. And even in my own case, I had people who were working for me. I had people who were prospective customers of mine were basically lied to, and this was by my partner. But I also turned around and had these done by my partner to my daughter's school, and the head teacher turned on me for no reason whatsoever, with me sitting there in disbelief, because the head teacher had, as far as I was aware, had been not reporting abuses at the school. It turned out these abuses were complete lies and fabrications made up by my ex-partner. But when my daughter was being abused and we were trying to report the abuse, my daughter was being ignored by the school, because the school had been preemptively told that I was the person who was making up these abuses. So they were actually under the impression that I was the bad person. And so I was triangulated against my daughter's school. So I'm very aware of how these systems work. The horrible part about it is as you actually find out these kind of triangulations of turnaround happened, it then becomes almost an impossible task then to get the abuser to be recognized for being an abuser for actually committing these triangulations, because normally the aggressive behaviors or the attacking behaviors of the third party have escalated so much that they don't want to turn around and actually admit that they've been duped and corrupted into these behaviors. So to actually get the situation turned back round so that you're back talking with the person is normally a bit of a dead end. It normally involves somebody to turn around and suggest these things are being done. Now, the other side of it is that when these manipulative behaviors are being done, the authorities, rather than turn around and actually standing up and sort of indicating what has happened, being aware of what actually happens with manipulative behaviors and psychological abusers, they won't actually support the person who's been discredited. They won't actually support the person who's been having these manipulations done against them, because the authorities actually use these very sort of very paternal behaviors themselves. They will tend to add a discrediting action against the victim, so the victim is silenced and isn't turned around and able to elaborate on these kind of behaviors. And again, this is what is being taught through society, the closing down of all this type of information. They don't want people understanding what manipulative behavior is. They don't want people to understand what narcissistic abuse is, or the systematic way of breaking people down, because they rely very much on it, on discrediting whistleblowers and so forth. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what triangulations are. But as you can imagine, these are now kind of three behaviors in a whole system of probably 12 to 15 behaviors that are that cause this kind of grief. They disable the person that they're being portrayed against. They discredit them. They isolate them. And part and parcel of how somebody is psychologically broken down. Now, you know, along with these eroding behaviors, there's also contradictory behaviors as well. So somebody will be very much abused. They will be attacked. They will be blamed and discredited. But then what the authorities and what abusers will then turn and do, is they will give the person long-term what's called the silent treatment. And this is basically once the person has been indicated as being inadequate or abusive or unstable or aggressive, basically the unjustified and unfounded actions of the silent treatment is turned around and put on the person, so they are basically left with questions in their mind: why have I been treated like this? What is it that I've done? I must have done something, because you know they wouldn't act like this to me unless I have done something, because somebody can't actually envisage that you would turn around and accuse someone of something for no reason, for you know, by somebody who is an honest person. So the questions inevitably come back round and onto the abuser, onto the abused, sorry, and they will have this this blaming and this criticism, which basically starts to eat away at their own self-esteem, their own concerns, and they start to believe that something must possibly be wrong. And this is where the silent treatment becomes a very futile and very damaging behavior to receive, because there is such an emphasis on not being able to actually recognize why you turn around and receive this treatment. So that's basically what the silent treatment is. It's something which is done from parents to children. It's something which is done from social workers to parents. And it's also done when somebody has got a question and a concern that they wish to turn around and put forward to an authority, in which they won't turn around and reply. So as you can imagine, the frustration in this when you're trying to prove your innocence and get your children back, it's something which is really damaging. So what I'm going to do now is just play another tune. We're going to have a little bit of a break and I hope you enjoy this. This is I Can See Clearly Now. Okay, so we're back and taking these on further, and basically I'm going to try and not to talk so much now about the abuse, as it were, but more the effects and what actually happens for the people that have received these kind of behaviours. People aren't really aware that what psychological abusers are doing with an emotional person is they're basically abusing their emotional levels, and they're very much aware that they're able to build what are called triggers, and your triggers are basically a phobic reaction or a emotional trained concern which develops when something is causing you much distress, that your mind and your concepts will actually build a set of emotional responses which are basically adrenaline, which is to get you away from these stresses and these concerns, which in nature would be your running away from somebody who's attacking you or causing you these discomfort. And basically over the long periods of time that they work on these, the concerns, the threats, the things that actually bother you become a developed trigger. And with this trigger, you've got basically what's called the limbic system within the brain. And it's there's different parts of the brain, which is this glands called the amygdala, and it produces what's called mirindia. And basically these all these stimulants and emotional triggers are created and become a concept, which when you sleep they are basically built up, And so you start to build anxiety attack potentials by having these phobic reactions. And so basically being ignored will make you become angry, and you will either feel angry, you will either feel you need to get away from the people who are actually abusing you. And what they'll actually do is hold you in limbo, so that you can't actually attack them, because they won't give you a justification to actually attack them. They won't give you a reason to run away from them. They will keep wishing to have the last word. They will keep turning around and antagonizing you. They will hold you in this isolated position. But their basic way of doing this is to get you to suffer the anxiety, make you start having an adverse effect against the an adverse feeling against the anxiety. And it actually starts to happen. What happens is you start to become anxious about having anxiety. So this is something which is built upon and built upon. And basically these people then build these triggers. They basically make their own buttons to press, as it were, within your own emotions to upset you. They can make you feel very uncomfortable, make you feel that you want to get away from them. But this is the element of building these triggers within someone, having them that upset, having them able to be provoked, antagonized at will. If somebody doesn't do something that they wish, they can then proceed to make them feel worse. They can they'll use such things as lies, false accusations. They will cause ignorance. They will cause suggestions of criticism that the person can't communicate properly, whilst again projecting this because the person's refusing to actually acknowledge anything. They will go and do something the opposite of what they're supposed to do, and upset the person, and basically be as impossible as they can, carry on these behaviours, and as I say, and put them through emotional exhaustion. Now, it's in itself, it doesn't sound very much, but what can actually happen is, from the outcome of this continual breaking down of a person, is personality disorders can actually be incurred upon somebody who's receiving them. Now, a narcissistic person will incur what are called adrenal spiking. And adrenal spiking is basically having the person walking on eggshells, basically letting them be in anticipation and apprehension of something that they might do, something they might get wrong, have them basically checking everything that they're doing. They become hypervigilant, hypersensitive, hyperreactive. And with this, they keep getting doses of adrenaline, which is actually addictive. And then what will happen is, when somebody does something and they can do that something correctly, they'll do what they've been asked to do. It will then be inferred that they've done something wrong and they'll be attacked for it. They'll then be criticized and blamed and given the silent treatment, which incurs then what's called a cortisol low. And basically this is now a stress-induced situation where someone has gone from a high up anxiety level to a stress-induced cortisol low. And the person will then be taken back into adrenaline again with another set of accusations, another set of frustrations, antagonistic behaviours, being provoked, upset, having the buttons pushed. And this constant going ups and downs and the actual mixture of cortisol and adrenaline is actually a toxic combination anyway, causes the person to have headaches. They're induced into these anxieties where they're not able to think straight. Their sleep patterns are disrupted. They are purposely stressed with everything they do. They're preoccupied. They're given loads of jobs to do. Their suggestions are turned around and made that they are inadequate. They're not doing what they're meant to have done. And these kind of behaviors are built upon and built upon till the person is pushed way beyond their limits, till they're virtually having an emotional breakdown. And as I say, these built triggers actually start to fire now from phobic reactions. Basically, even the person believing that they're doing something wrong is enough to turn around and give them an anxiety attack. And even just the thought of maybe they've forgotten something could be something. They could be driving along, believing they've forgotten something. The next thing they don't realize, within 2 or 3 minutes, they're having an anxiety attack. They're having palpitations. They're starting to have sweat. Their face is burning up. The person is sitting there thinking, why am I feeling like this while I'm driving? They don't recognize what the trigger has been done, has been incurred. And again, they start to turn around and doubt themselves, wondering what is actually wrong with them. Not really apparent to what is going on, because the abusers won't actually turn around and acknowledge what they're doing. The information is never given to the person, but basically they're enticed into having like phobic reaction, anxiety attacks, with no real justified reason to the person who's receiving them. They can't actually establish for themselves what is actually going on. And the psychological abuser, who's been doing this for many years, has done it to many people, would have had a consistently toxic relationship breakup pattern to their behavior. So the history of their past will be the fact that they turn around and induce this to empathic people who they target time and time again. They enjoy breaking down. They'll even turn around and try to find people that have been broken down by their traits and behaviors. They will spot people who have been hypervigilant, people that are hypersensitive, people that apologize profusely, and they will turn around and make a beeline for these people, recognizing the fact that they can actually provoke these kind of behaviors upon the same person again. They will break into the same patterns of behaviors of finding out personal information about these people, using it to upset them. If they find out that this is basically, they've got triggers already by this, these accounts, if they've had trauma or they've been abused, if they've had a previous abusive partner, they will basically use this information to incite blame or criticism into the victim, and suggesting that the other person must have been okay, and you know, they can see what was wrong with them from their behaviors. And again, these narcissistic people will be attracted by an empathic person time and time again. So it's not just an ongoing matter in regards to one abuser. The chain of abuse quite regularly and consistently happen for these people, and you will find these people will just believe that they're not meant to be in a relationship. They will find it much easier to turn around and live on their own, and they'll move their life forward in this way. The problem becomes when you have a single parent who's kind of incurred this repetitive abusive partner, that if they have children aren't abused, the mother's been a good mother or the father's been a good father, and the authorities are aware of their empathy, they then become a prime target to be attacked by the non-emotional and the psychologically abusive social workers or the police or anybody else who is very quick to pick up on empathic people. They will be targeted by them as an easy target, and this is hence why a lot of emotional abused people are actually targeted for their children and are further broken down. And unfortunately, this is again where the emphasis comes from. The person who's been abused can't understand why not only are they being abused by their partners in the past, they're actually being abused by the authorities that are supposed to protect them. And this is something that we're seeing more and more happen recently. We're seeing it more with the fact that narcissistic behaviors are not only protected, but actually promoted within society. It's very much what you're seeing with what goes on with Fathers for Justice and with enforced adoptions, this recognized character type to target. You've got an empathic, loving father. They won't turn around and give the father the children. The children will be passed to the psychologically abusive, possibly even sexually or physically abusive mother. And the father will be the father who is trying his hardest to turn around and fight against lies, false accusations, will be completely unaware of why he's being treated in such a way, how the authorities seem to back the mums, and this biasness against sexism is what is portrayed. Of course, it can't actually be recognised because there are the opposites which happen, where the fathers are winning the children because the father is the narcissistic parent. But the authorities are very aware that a narcissistic, sociopathic or psychopathic parent, even though they're not emotionally tied to the children, they won't turn around and give the child a healthy upbringing. They will give them a negative one. The authorities don't want to turn around and deal with a pathological, dangerous personality who is likely to take their resentment against the professionals, who are likely to turn around and take the drastic action of actually, if they can't have the children, then no one will have them. And the outcome of the possibility that the parent will attack the children from their own pathological behaviours. and all these kind of emphases are made, which basically means the children are part and parcel placed in the unloving, abusive, manipulative parents' keeping. And the authorities, well, as many people know, don't care for the children. They don't give the children the voice that they're supposed to be heard in courts. They use the secretive, non-recorded court systems, which are basically promoting lies, false accusations. They're promoting the abusers in the decisions in the courts. And as I say, this is very much what is going on, not just today. It's been going on for a very long period of time. But all the manipulative suggestions and all the now transparent views of the courts are sexist towards mothers, and the courts are not recognising lies and perjury and stuff, because there isn't an actual understanding of what is actually going on. No one's actually able to hold them to account. And yet, if you turn around and look at the correct pattern of behaviours of recognising these, the psychology that's used within the courts, the recognition of the same manipulative behaviours, the same inversions of the truth, the same false accusations, the same projections are used to discredit the parents. They're used to falsify reports. They're used to, as I say, break down the parents in the view that if they can get the parents to give up, this is the way to segregate a child from its parent. And all these systems of approach are used by the courts. And again, I'm protecting the parents that they are placing the children with. So, as I say, this is very much what is going on in the world. And sad to say, it's something that I've been fighting myself. But the fight must go on, and the news must go out there. And it seems to be left for me to be the person to express these news. So I apologise for that. Try and do something a little bit more upbeat now, so we'll play a little bit more of a tune, and then we'll come back with some news. So this is Where Love Lives. Oh, apologies there. That seemed to have finished a little bit abrupt. Caught me totally unaware. So again, I apologise. Nice to have a little bit more upbeat music there. Well, we've basically got about 7 or 8 more minutes now. So there's a few things I just wanted to run over. Things that are going on within the radio station. We've got the various different other shows that are going on. The people that are working hard and are out there for you, the people, and doing this, taking the time out of their own lives, basically to get these important issues and stuff out and recognised. We've got Neil and Andy who do Two Peas in a Pod, and they're doing an awful lot of work out there for recognition of forced adoption, people having their children taken away, and getting the recognition for satanic abuse and the different types of abuse and paedophile rings that are out there. And doing big shouts out for such people as Bill Maloney, those as I say, the selfless people that are out there who put themselves at risk with very dangerous individuals, and they're doing it for the children. So I'd like to get that kind of bit of recognition out there for those kind of people. And amongst those other people, you've also got such people as Kevin, We Are Change, another guy who's very out there for the children. He looks personally after his niece and has done a lot of good actions. Lot of recognition within the courts and legal matters and stuff. He's got his head well and truly screwed on and puts it on a good show on a Tuesday as well. And all to do with children's education, all to do with social workers. Again, very active person and out amongst in the street and doing all good stuff. We've also then got Claire Kennedy, who's got the Wake Up Call and Connection. We just set Claire up with her own radio show and very popular individual, and got some great people to talk to. She's a lot less boring than myself in the on the vocal tones, and so she's on a Tuesday night from 9:30. We call it the late night session. So please tune in and listen to Claire. She's got some amazing information and great approach to turn around and getting people to wake up within society. She's very much out on the streets as well. She does a one lady and a mic. Stand-up information service that she's going to be taking around the country, talking to people in different towns and cities, and trying to get the information out there. Again, taking it all out of her own time. No one's being paid. It's all for this great cause, all the things that are going on. And there are some serious things that are going on out there, people. People aren't aware of, not just the corruption that's going on within the system. You've got paedophilia in the highest ordained places in the Houses of Lords, Houses of Parliament. You've got such things as multi-billion pound refurbishments being speculated as being done within the Houses of Parliament, within the Royal House of Buckingham Palace, in a time of austerity when people are saying there's no money out there for the poor. You've got people who are living in poverty, and yet they are finding £3 billion to do up a building which is very well furbished and is quite honestly a investigation site for paedophilia and for forensic evidence which needs to be investigated. And rather than this investigation coming on, it being delayed, we've got complete refurbishments and tearing out of buildings being done. But at the same time, with people working hard, we've got the new show that's gone out in 60 minutes, exposing all the stuff that's gone on with various different MPs, stuff that's going on at Dolphin Club. We've got such people as Russell Burton and, say, Bill Maloney. They're out there doing their thing. We've got the people who've paid their ultimate price. We've got Hayden Burton Besson, whose life has been extinguished and in very suspicious circumstances. I certainly know what I think, and I don't think it's a suicide that's been put there. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where if you haven't got evidence, then you're not allowed to say anything. I'm willing to put my neck out and turn around and say, for having spoken to Hayden, he certainly wasn't in any position, I believe, to be taking his life. He was all about getting out there, getting more people aware of what was going on, and he was a Superman through and through. So my respect goes out to Hayden and where he is now, hopefully looking down on and able to do things that he needs to do from where he is. And I'd also like to do a big shout out, I think, as well, to Andy Peacher. He's the guy that's set up this radio show He works all hours, puts up with an awful lot of stress. Part and parcel of this comes with dealing with trolls, people who wish to turn around and incite negativity towards people. There's an awful lot of these people out there, people having their names discredited, having lies, false accusations turned around and spread about them. We've got the latest report that we've got 5,000 MOD workers now who are trolling and discrediting and basically causing as much meddlesome behaviour as they can for such people who are activists, which are now being labelled as terrorists. And it seems the state of Iceland, who is now a terrorist state and a war threat to the UK, basically because they've managed to go financially independent and aren't being lulled into all the fraud and the conspiracy and corruption that's going on. And so that now deems them as being a terrorist state. And it seems that we're all terrorists. Anybody that stands up for doing what's right, says that they won't pay for a fraud, won't turn around and be robbed without turning around and contesting it, won't stand up and say it's okay to have children abused, and think it's okay for the cover-ups for paedophiles in Parliament, in positions of power, and that these people don't get called to account. And if you stand up and say this, then again, you're a terrorist, you're a whistleblower, and be set for a whole load of psychological abuse behaviours. Hopefully, we've kind of given you some kind of insight tonight into what's actually going on out there. And hopefully, if you are in the receipt of psychological abuse, then please do get in touch. You can either get in touch with Andy on Freedom Talk Radio on the Gmail account. And with that, I'll leave you with the logo, with the various different telephone numbers and emails that can be heard on this promotion right here when I can find it. And here we go.
Hurry, little children, run this way. I have got a feast that
you're listening to Freedom Talk Radio. We're dealing with the real issues, because the children shouldn't have to run away. We're exposing the escalating nightmare and ignorance of child safety and abuse. Have you any serious issues with satanic abuse, organised paedophilia, abuse in power and parliament, victim blaming, exploitation and intimidation, parental alienation, reporting the authorities for abuse, whistleblowers, police, social workers, child sexual imagery, co-parenting with an abuser, a family member as an abuser? We'd like to hear from you. You can email us securely on freedomtalkradio2013@gmail.com, freedomtalkradio.co.uk. The children need us.
Right then all, it's afraid it's the end of the show. It's an early one tonight, and just like to say to everybody, keep out there, keep safe, and keep on keeping on. God bless you all.